The fire may not open, but the devil will return. Insanity or glory in a mind that never learns. A moment of something where the dark can reverse. Tell the lonely where to go. Kill the inside and let it burn. It's not the only way. Kill the inside and let it burn.
Okay. Welcome to the show, In Plain Sight. Jeremy from Kentucky on Republic Broadcasting Network. Please go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash the donate, send the fundage, mail your check or money order payable to RBN to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And you can call that into Mike with your debit or credit card. And you can use PayPal, a lot of ways to donate. If everybody listening could give $5 or $10, it would make a huge difference. And so Wednesday night, spiritual health and wellness, you know, I started this after the 2020 election hoax, somewhere at the end of January of 21. And everybody was kind of fed up, and I felt like we needed to take a different direction, at least one night a week, and sort of focus on the Lord for those of you that are Christians. And those of you that aren't Christians, maybe you could listen in and decide whether you want to be a part of this thing or not. But I covered Psalm 73. I remember that, talking about the wicked prospering, and it seems like that they do, but there's a judgment coming. So I want to play a sermon clip from one of our young pastors in West Kentucky, Pastor Kay. We'll play this. It'll be about 15 minutes, and then we'll be back on the other side with commentaries and more headlines. Go ahead, Mike.
If you have your Bible this morning, would you open up to the book of Psalms, chapter number 73? The Psalter this morning, chapter number 73. And today I want us to consider a text that may be very familiar to many of you. I've actually preached from this chapter several times. And the reason that this passage is so familiar and a favorite among many Christians is because of the beauty of the climactic expression in this chapter and because of what the chapter teaches as a whole. And this is a chapter I want to say today that has done good for my soul on a number of occasions, and my prayer today is that it will minister to you as well. And the climactic expression that I'm speaking of is in chapter 73, verse 25 and 26. Would you notice these two verses? Whom have I in heaven but you, and there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. You know, what is it about this statement that makes it resonate with so many believers? What is the thing that's being communicated here? Well, this is really a confessional type of statement. And it's from a man by the name of Asaph. He's the one who penned this particular psalm. And after he had gone through a very difficult experience, he thought about that for a while, and he ended up drawing some conclusions and wrote this, what I call a beautiful confessional statement. And the thrust of the confession here that he is making is this. The meaning of verse 25 and 26 is this is a confessional statement about the believer's disposition towards God. It's a confession that only a believer can make. The thing that's being confessed is really quite simple. Asaph is saying, life now or in eternity is nothing without you, God.
That's right.
Or we could say it maybe this way. You are my all in all. You are my everything.
Amen.
There's even a hymn. You are my all in all. Someone must have been reading Psalm 73 when they penned that beautiful hymn. And this is exactly what's going on in the heart of Asaph. And with that today, I want us to kind of walk through some of this psalm and show you the experience that Asaph had that led him to the place where he could make this beautiful and this bold confessional type of statement. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time going through the whole psalm because I really have some applicational things today that I want to to help you with, maybe, that I think will be a joy to your heart. But I do want to give you somewhat of a contextual understanding of this particular psalm. Now, in verses 1 through 14, really the first major division of this psalm, what you learn here from Asaph, what he's communicating, is that he knows that God is good to his people. But we see that Asaph went through a season where he was being tempted to think that somehow ungodly or wicked people, people that didn't know the Lord, somehow had a better situation than he did. He was thinking about that. He was looking out at the portion of the wicked, or the lot of the wicked that they have in life. And he's thinking about his lot as a person of God, as a righteous person. And he's thinking about the things that the wicked people are committed to. And maybe he's thinking in his mind that it seems better, perhaps, to be committed to those things rather than the things of God. Now, that's the struggle that's going on in his heart. That's what's happening. Notice, let's just read some of this. He says, "Truly God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart." Now notice the "but" in verse number 2. He says, "But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped." So this is telling you about an experience that Asaph had. And here's the situation that was before him where he about got tripped up. "I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Then he begins to describe what he thinks is their situation in life. He says they don't have any pains until death. Their bodies are fat and sleek. They're not in trouble as others are. They're not stricken like the rest of mankind. Therefore, pride is their necklace. Violence covers them as a garment. Their eyes swell out through fatness. Their hearts overflow with follies. They scoff and speak with malice. Loftily, they threaten oppression. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue struts through the earth." Isn't that something?
Yeah.
It's almost like the wicked do all of these things and it just seems like they get by.
Yeah.
Like never any punishment or any trouble that comes to the wicked. They got a lot of money, they got a lot of pleasure, they have a lot of prosperity. Everything seems to be going pretty well for the wicked. And as a matter of fact, the lifestyle that they live is so powerful. Verse 10 says, "Therefore his people," meaning the people who profess to know God, "sometimes turn back to them and find no fault in them." They look at their situation and they say, "I think I'll go join up with them." And they say, "This is no big deal. How can God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the wicked. They're always at ease. They increase in riches." And so Asaph says, "All in vain have I kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence." I mean, what's the point of keeping my own heart clean and living an innocent life? I mean, these profligate type of people seem like they're having a much better time in life, and they're getting by and they just live it up with no recourse, no problem at all. And so what's the point of me keeping my heart clean and all of this? And he says, "For all the day long I have been stricken and rebuked every morning," he says. Why go through all the discipline of being a godly person when it seems like the wicked, they don't do any of that, and yet they seem to be getting by pretty good? Why should I continue to follow and serve the Lord with my life when it appears that the wicked have it so much better than me? Why not just abandon all of this and go join them? Do you see that? That's what's going on in his heart and in his mind. And I think if you're honest, you've probably had that struggle at some point in your own life. By the way, God preserved this in Scripture because he knew that this would be a temptation to his people. So learn from it today, right? I mean, just confess that, you know, I've had these thoughts in my own heart. I'm just going to confess it. So let's see what the Scripture has to say about it. Now, by the way, as an editorial note, Asaph, remember, he's writing this in hindsight. He's already been through all of this and he's come to his conclusions. And in verse 15, he said, "If I had said this, if I had decided to speak in this way publicly..." In other words, if this argument that was going on in my heart ended up coming out of my lips and was expressed publicly, he says, "I would have betrayed the generation of your children." In other words, Asaph, you know, he's a leader in the temple of some sort, some kind of worship leader. So he has influence with the people of God. And if he began to speak this way publicly, it's very possible that he could have tripped up some of the people of God and they would have stumbled, and this would have been to great hurt for all of these other people. I would have betrayed the generation of your children. Just an editorial note, he's throwing that in there and saying this was a dangerous line of thinking, in other words. It had the potential for harming many other people, which would have been disastrous. What was I thinking, he says. I shudder to think of what would have come, all of the disastrous consequences, had I followed through and acted upon this line of reasoning. Well, in verses 16 to 24 then, you see a bit of another division here in the passage. Let's read what he says. See the but again in verse number 16. So here's a change in his way of thinking. But when I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task. So here he is as a believer in God, and he's having these deep heart struggles, and he's trying to figure out what's going on inside his heart and in his mind. And he battles with it, and it's wearisome. It's wearing him out. You ever had anything like that in your life where there's a struggle, internal struggle going on, and it's just wearing you out, and you're trying to come to the conclusion of the matter, trying to figure things out, and it's just, I don't know what to do. And he says, it was all a wearisome task. And then notice verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God.
Amen.
And it was there I discerned their end, he says.
That's right.
So there was this massive turnaround in the life of Asaph when he went into the sanctuary, or you could say when he went to the corporate assembly where the normal means of grace take place, or you could say a simple day at church turned everything around for me in my thinking. That's why this is so important today. You never know what a single day at church might do to your soul. You never know what God might have in store for you when you come to a meeting like this. We can't say that enough of how important it is. This is where God works so many of His gracious purposes. And you need to see that, because Asaph was trying to figure things out on his own, and it wasn't until he came under the normal means of grace where he started to get clarity. Amen. And he started to get light on the subject. And there's this massive switch that's taking place in his life, because in the temple, in the sanctuary, his day at church, so to speak, what's happening there is that he's sitting under the proper instruction. He's sitting under truth. It was truth that changed the whole thing around. And that's exactly how it is for you and me. We gain proper instruction. It gives us the proper perspective concerning whatever the issue is at hand. It just so happens that this is the particular issue at hand for Asaph. What do I do about my desire to be like wicked people because I think they have it better? You may be struggling with a different kind of thing today. There may be something else going on in your life that you're struggling with, and you haven't been able to find the answer or the clarity to that. All the more reason to continually expose your life to the regular preaching of the Word of God.
Amen.
That's why we do what we do. So, what was it that he figured out when he went to church? We know that this was the turnaround. Well, he tells you what he learned. He got the actual truth about the wicked. I mean, his own way of thinking by observation was that they had it better than him. But then when he went to the house of God and he began to hear the proper instruction, this is what he discerned. This is what he learned. Truly, you, God, set them in slippery places. You make them fall to ruin. How they are destroyed in a moment, swept away utterly by terrors, like a dream when one awakes. Oh Lord, when you rouse yourself, you despise them as phantoms.
Yep.
Isn't that amazing? You set them in slippery places. That means the wicked could fall to their ruin at any moment.
Right.
Any second it could happen. They're destroyed in a moment, swept away utterly by terrors. They're like a bad dream.
Yeah.
And you despise them. When you rouse yourself, you despise them as phantoms. It's like a bad dream that you have that you just completely cast out of your thinking forever is what's going on here. When God decides to deal with the wicked and make an end of them, He forgets about them forever.
Amen.
That's what makes God's salvation so wonderful, is because He remembers us forever.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing, the contrast? And so he's thinking about this, and then he's also thinking about the situation here in verse 21. When my soul was embittered, when I was pricked in heart, I was brutish and ignorant. I was like a beast towards you. In other words, when I was thinking that the wicked somehow had it better than the godly, I was actually acting beastly.
Yeah.
That's a pretty honest confession, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Are we honest with ourselves to really diagnose sometimes the way that we think about things as being brutish and beastly and foolish and completely contrary to the ways and the purposes of God? And then he recognizes, as someone who belongs to the Lord, nevertheless, even though that was the case, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. Where sin abounded, grace abounded all the more.
Amen.
In other words, is the Old Testament expression of what Paul says in Romans chapter 5. You hold my right hand, you guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. Such is the truth for those who belong to God.
Right.
Even though they go through these seasons and these times where they think foolishly about certain issues. Asaph is seeing all of this. I'm recognizing now they don't have a better situation. Their position is quite precarious, and mine is far more advantageous.
Amen.
That's what he came to realize. I was a fool. What was I thinking to be thinking like this? How silly of me. How stupid. And then verse 25 and 26 that I read to you when we started. After all of this contemplation, after all of this sorting through the divided nature of his heart, the back and forth that was going on during this season of his life, Asaph comes to the point where he can gladly and joyfully make this beautiful confession. Whom have I in heaven but you?
Amen.
And there's nothing on earth that I desire besides you. In other words, heaven is heaven, not because Granny is there, but because you're there.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And there's nothing on earth that compares to knowing you and having a walk with you and a relationship with you. And it's true that my flesh and my heart may fail, as is obvious from the line of thinking that he had here, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And so what is this confession? What's at the guts of this confession? Life now or in eternity is nothing without God. You are my all in all. You, God, are my everything.
Amen.
Isn't that a beautiful song?
Amen.
It's beautiful.
So yeah, something to think about. Like I said, started doing this and I focused strictly on the Psalms at first last year. And you think about all of these politicians and the wickedness and how they seem to get away with their evil deeds. But they're under judgment. Like the scripture says, 19 of Psalm 73, how they are brought into desolation in a moment. They're utterly consumed with terrors. You think these people sleep well? I mean, how many drugs do you think they have to take to get a good night's rest? Go to the end of the Psalm, verse 27. Lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed them that go whoring from thee. And then the psalmist ends by saying in the last verse, 28, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. You trust in God and you'll see the folly of the wicked. And I think we've seen quite a bit of that come to pass in the aftermath of the so-called COVID-19 so-called pandemic, the sanctions put on Russia, and how ridiculous our so-called leaders look, our politicians look, and how it's all come back to bite them, how it's all come back and been dumped upon their heads. And sure, the American populace and the people of the West are hurting, you know, as a result of these wicked leaders, but you trust in God and you'll get through the judgment. He'll give you an umbrella of grace. Coming back on the other side with some more headlines and discussion here on In Plain Sight.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store.
Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Hey, welcome back to the show, In Plain Sight, Spiritual Health and Wellness Edition. And just a little follow-up on the last commentary and the psalm and the sermon that we heard. So if you're not a Christian, and I couldn't imagine not being able to put my trust in the Lord and in the afterlife when I observe the wickedness and the corruption of the current governments of the world. But, I mean, if you're not one, understand that It's a matter of faith. You know, Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The same chapter also says that no one seeks after righteousness. So understanding that you're a sinner before the Lord, that nothing that you can do is good enough. There are no works. Romans 4 makes an entire case of that, that it's not your works that earn you salvation, it's faith. Ephesians 2:9-10, by grace you're saved through faith, not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then understand that eternal life is a gift. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So a wage is what you earn. What we earn for our works is death, and that's eternal death in the lake of fire. But the gift of God, so it's a gift. You don't do anything to earn a gift, right? It doesn't matter what it is. If I told you, you know, I'm going to give you $1,000, or if I had it $1,000,000, and you got to help me paint this room though for the day, well, that's not a gift. I mean, that's a work, right? Because you're having to do work. Even if I said, well, just help me sand this door frame for 10 minutes and you get $1,000,000, that's still a wage. It's a very good wage, but it's a wage nonetheless because you've done something for it. So there's nothing that you can do. And then you go to Acts 16, and the Apostle Paul tells the Philippian jailer, when asked, what must I do to be saved? Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. John 3:16, 17, and 18, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Verse 18 categorizes people into one of two camps. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So it's a very simple matter. You either believe or you don't. It's a matter of faith, and God has to call you to that. That's how you can experience eternal life. And when you have that, it doesn't matter what the wicked do. It doesn't matter what's going on around you. And yes, once you're saved, once you have been born again, then your work does matter. You do have to work and do things that please the Lord, not to keep your salvation. You can't keep it. You didn't do anything to earn it. But you're doing it not only to please the Lord, but for your fellow creature. You know, sometimes you have to do things that are righteous that might take the form of a political protest, that might take the form of, you know, when I protested the mask mandates and the vax mandates at the school boards, the Lord may call you to take up arms. That's something that a lot of Christians are not willing to go to. But, you know, Luke 22:36, this was when the Lord Jesus had been delivered up. He was about to be delivered up to be crucified. He told the disciples, but now he that hath a purse, this is Luke 22:36, let him take it and likewise his scrip. And he that has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. And he knew that the disciples would face possible physical danger when he was gone from them temporarily. And he urged them to buy a sword. And what is a sword but a deadly weapon to protect yourself with deadly force? And so sometimes the Lord might call you to arms. But whatever happens and whatever your lot in life, you have the Lord and you have eternal life, and that's everything. I don't know how people that don't believe, I don't know how they make it through the day. But anyway, let's get on to some more headlines. I wanted to read one from the Stormer. We'll get into the very beginning of this and then catch the rest of it on the other side of the break, and then we'll open up the phone lines, take your calls. Stormer-daily.rw, drinking and smoking are not against the draconian version of fundamentalist Christianity. You can see why this one caught my eye, right? Disclaimer, you don't need to be a drunkard and smoke two packs a day. We're not talking about abusing yourself and putting yourself, you know, into a drunken stupor where you're not being a productive person for your family and community and where you're not being productive for your church. We're talking about casual, you know, social use, of course. Moderation being the key. I mean, Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher of the mid to late 1800s, I mean, he had a glass of whiskey and a cigar every night, and nobody gave that guy trouble. He just came from a different time, a different era, you know, when men sat around and smoked and had a glass. Anyway, back on the other side, we'll cover this article and take your calls.
The truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy-to-take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Back to the show, Spiritual Health and Wellness on Implant Site, covering an article from The Stormer entitled, Drinking and Smoking Are Not Against the Draconian Version of Fundamentalist Christianity. And then for the context, you'll pull up the article and you see a picture of Nick Fuentes and the Gropers. Now, if you're not familiar, Fuentes is America First Movement. It's pretty much on board. There's some criticism here and there from some in the various alt-right or white nationalist circles, but Fuentes has openly talked about Jewish power. He's tried to hold politicians' feet to the fire, and he's gotten the attention of some mainstream politicians like Marjorie Taylor Greene. So you got a picture of them at some sort of an event where they're gambling, drinking, and smoking, and yet they claim to practice this hardcore right-wing fundamentalist version of Christianity that I totally subscribe to. Andrew opens up the article. The thing is always happening again. We rolling, they hating. Why they be hating? There's only one reason. Haters are going to hate. And right wing watch. I guess this is a Twitter that I guess criticizes people on the right wing. I don't know. They're writing this tweet about the Fuentes Groper crowd. Let's see if we have this right. This group of white nationalists who are out drinking, smoking, and gambling in Las Vegas are the same ones who are vowing to impose their draconian version of fundamentalist Christianity on the entire nation. And then it has a picture of Nick in the crowd. So Andrew writes in the following paragraphs, just to be clear, the draconian version of fundamentalist Christianity that me and the boys are planning on inflicting on America is not going to ban alcohol or cigarettes. Alcohol and cigarettes are healthy and increase vigor and vitality. God himself drank alcohol. Now, that's true. The Lord Jesus turned water into wine. You know, I don't want – let me just add a little commentary here. I don't want to go too far afield. You don't need to picture Jesus as some drunk. They accuse him of that. You know, the Pharisees accused him. He said that they said that he came eating and drinking, and they called him a drunkard and a glutton, a wine bibber. And in contrast, John the Baptist did not come eating and drinking, and they said that he had a demon. So in other words, they're criticizing anybody that stood against their Jewish power, no matter what they did. But Jesus did attend many dinners and partook of wine. So, of course, never sinned. So it was always in the context of a social drink, right? Andrew England goes on to write, tobacco is a New World product, but I see no reason to believe that Jesus would not have smoked if he had been born in an age of smoking. Smoking is literally good for your health. Again, let me break in there because we don't want to get carried away here. Andrew does tend to be hyperbolic. Hyperbole? He has a lot of hyperbole. You don't want to smoke two cigarettes a day or two packs a day, but a couple of cigarettes, you know, with the right exercise and diet, you know, it's not going to kill you. It does seem to increase the nicotine, you know, mental sharpness. Again, don't get carried away with this. You know, Charles Spurgeon smoked a cigar and drank a glass of whiskey a day, and he was noted as a well-renowned preacher of the gospel and a force of moral good at the end of the Great Awakening. Next paragraph, Andrew writes, gambling is a complex issue, and morally, if it's done either for simple fun, small stakes, or there is skill involved, which is most card games, it's not sinful. The old school American policy of limiting gambling in certain cities, such as Las Vegas and Atlantic City, that is in keeping with the draconian version of fundamentalist Christianity. However, loot boxes will be banned. So speaking on that, I mean, I love playing pool and playing blackjack. I'll get some friends together and we'll have the poker chips. And maybe everybody puts $20 in the jar, right? And then you get $20 worth of chips. That's your limit. You don't go any more than that. You don't get carried away. It's all in fun. It's $20 that you can afford that maybe you would have spent on eating out or going to a stupid movie or something. But instead, you're hanging out with the boys and preferably other believers in Christ that you're hanging out with if you're a Christian. And you're having a good time, fellowshipping, maybe sipping a drink or two, smoke a cigarette or a cigar or a pot. And it's all in the context of innocent fun and not going overboard. So I think that also with blackjack, I like to shoot pool. I love shooting a game of stick. Usually I go to the local pool room here in my small town, see all the people, you know, you get to make the rounds. You get a couple of guys that are good, play them for $10 a rack. No harm done, just makes it interesting. When you run out of cash, you're done gambling. You know, you don't go to the ATM and keep taking stuff out. I think that's the context here. Anyway, back to his article. Let's see exactly what would be banned in a draconian version of fundamentalist Christianity, according to England. OnlyFans whores, pornography, being a stupid bitch, women talking in public, Jews, crime, divorce, slut clothes, women talking loudly in private settings. Again, these are things that would all be banned in the ideal fundamental Christian draconious society. Women voting, Disney, Star Wars, amen. Virus hoaxes, black people rioting, immigration, gays, women going to college, neo-Nazism, blasphemy, communism, aesthetic teachings, paganism, Satanism, child molestation, women yelling, women tricking people, drugs, cops having a sub 100 IQ, cops hassling people, usury, abortion, Jew-like behaviors, birth control, condoms, radical actions. Again, these are Andrew's list of things that would be banned. And I'm not in disagreement so far. Manipulating people with fantastical hoaxes, public nudity, seed oils, abusive pills, corporations lobbying the government, foreign governments lobbying the governments, hello APAC, dual citizenship, dirty tricks, Jewish tricks, swindles, women in the government, rape hoaxes, personal income tax, property tax, living on welfare, affirmative action programs, women screeching, harassing federal judges at steakhouses, abuse of the peasantry, sodomy, unjust scheming, strange tricks, deranged swindles, shiftiness, practicing witchcraft, witches, satanic acts, teaching children to have gay sex, family courts, hate crime laws, pleading insanity as an excuse for committing a crime, letting insane people loose on the street, banning guns would be banned, banning felons from owning guns would be banned, because you never know why a guy got a felony, I mean, in all seriousness, and they're going to get the gun anyway. Really, as far as the gun thing, everybody should just strap it on like Matt Dillon and Gunsmoke, and you know, you got something to settle, you settle that out in the street. If it gets out of control, the sheriff and deputies kind of reel that baby in, right? Other things to be banned here: price gouging, monopolistic corporations avoiding government regulation, starting wars for no reason, plotting to take over the world in an irresponsible manner, spying for Israel, telling people they can't boycott Israel, sending money to Israel, black people attacking randos in the street, drive-by shootings, drug dealings, cops trying to get people to do terrorism, hello COINTELPRO, stopping people from speaking, banning people from the internet, criminal practices, human sacrifice, animal sacrifice, mutilation, male circumcision, drunk driving checkpoints, again, amen, police harassing people for no reason, forcing people to wear masks, forcing people to stay inside their houses. There's a very huge list here of very obvious things. Let me just pull out some of the more amusing ones. Japanese people trying to make everyone into pedophiles, that would be banned. Wizardry, women holding conferences, substituting sugar with corn syrup, yes. Packaging food in petrochemical-based plastic, and pit bulls. So Andrew goes on to write, there are, of course, more things for the ban list, but overall, the draconian version of fundamental Christianity that we are planning will give people a lot more freedom than they have now. We just want a healthy society, but we believe that personal freedom, guided by Christian morals, is the path to a healthy society. For example, China recently set a limit on how many hours a day people can play video games. In draconian version of fundamental Christianity, it does not support the government forcing people like this, but it does believe in the spirit of the thing. The spirit of the thing is different than the process of enacting it. If the goal is that boys should not play video games more than 20 hours per week, then you can use positive incentives to reach this goal, rather than the negative incentive of government bans. I'm not a video game guy. Probably none of you guys are in this audience. So I would just say no video games at all. But I'm not dogmatic on that one because, you know, I know some young people that do video games and they're not bad people and they still work. Next paragraph. The reason Chinese men play too many video games is the same reason Western men play too many video games. They do not have a wife and children to work for and support. But under the Chinese system of government, to force something, you cannot solve the root problem because the government can't directly force women to get married. Instead, using a positive incentive of teaching women from childhood that they should get married young and shaming women who don't get married young as antisocial and whorish. Also shaming their fathers as irresponsible, bad fathers. With this, you create the same outcome of men spending less time playing video games because they're going to be married and want to work and provide for their children. In other areas, the Chinese system of government force would work in the West and has before. For example, banning pornography. Pornography is a product that is produced and distributed by business people rather than an individual behavior and therefore subject to government regulation. Similarly, the government should not and cannot in actuality ban all forms of fornication, but it can ban contraception and encourage a pro-family social normativity, which disincentivizes fornication in general, while also not directly targeting individuals and their fundamental ability to make personal choices. There's a lot more to this article. It goes on sort of in the same line of thought here. So I'll let you pull that up and read it rather than going through it all myself. But interesting comments from Angle, and I agree with a lot of what he says. Some of the things I don't agree with, but I think overall he's on the right track. Trying to get the guy on the show, but he's really hard to get in contact with. We were emailing a little bit last year. Maybe we can get him on. That would be a good interview. I wanted to go into a few more headlines. First of all, I want to kind of highlight Psalm 74. And I'm looking at the call screen. I don't see anybody call in, so we're just going to go on with content. You think about all of the churches, right, that have been corrupted. And I know a lot of you call in and you're fed up with Christianity as a whole because of the experiences that you've had with churches. You know, you got the Episcopalians started off making women pastors and then homos pastors and now trannies. You got the corruption of the Catholic Church. Even the Southern Baptist Convention has like gone way off the rails and would not be recognized by any legit Southern Baptist preacher from the 60s or even the 70s or 80s. The Christian Zionism is completely unhinged. And it kind of reminded me of this psalm coming in right after 73. Let me just read it for you. And you think about how people have desecrated the house of God. The psalmist writes, again, Asaph, O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Why doth thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? Remember thy congregation, which thou hast purchased of old, the rod of thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed, this Mount Zion, wherein thou hast dwelt. Lift up thy feet unto the perpetual desolations, even all that the enemy hath done wickedly in the sanctuary. Talking about wicked men infiltrating the church. Thine enemies roar, verse 4, in the midst of thy congregations, they set up their ensigns for signs. A man was famous according as he had lifted up axes upon the thick trees, but now they break down the carved work thereof at once with axes and hammers. They have cast fire into thy sanctuary. They have defiled by casting down the dwelling place of thy name to the ground. They have said in their hearts, let us destroy them together. They have burned up all the synagogues of God in the land. And this is very, very clearly talking about the corruption in the churches of God and how that wicked men have done this. So, but once again, the wicked will have their day of judgment. We're seeing it now. We're undergoing judgment in this country, and it's going to get worse. So the best thing to do is, you know, first of all, turn to the Lord and get with like-minded people, other Christians, other people of moral conscience. Arm yourselves. If you don't have a gun, sell your coat and buy a weapon and ammunition. That's as good as gold. You're not going to go wrong. I don't care how much you pay, even if it's really expensive. That weapon and ammo could be used for trading. You know, a box of ammo could go for a week's worth of food if things get bad. But set yourself up to survive this and get under the grace of God's umbrella of grace here. This leads me to another article I wanted to highlight, not exactly in the line of spiritual health and wellness, but kind of when we talk about how the West is being punished and how you're seeing this new alliance in the East that's becoming more powerful, and God is going to use them to judge the West. Putin meets with Iran and Turkey, and they all vow to unseat the dollar as the global reserve currency. So you go to Reuters on this one. Again, this was a Stormer article that cited Reuters. Russian President Vladimir Putin had talks with Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei in Iran on Tuesday. The Kremlin leader's first trip outside the former Soviet Union since the Moscow and February 24th invasion of Ukraine. In Tehran, Putin also held his first face-to-face meeting since the invasion with a NATO leader, Turkey's Erdogan. We'll cover more of this article in the closing section of Endpoint Side.
The wind blows hard against this mountainside, across the sea into my soul. It reaches into where I cannot hide.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
My heart is old, it holds my memories. My body burns a gem-like flame. Somewhere between the soul and soft machine.
That. Final segment of In Plain Sight, just highlighting this article on Putin meeting with Iran, but also a member of NATO, Turkey's Erdogan. So this is something, this all in the line of the East sort of banding together as it appears the hammer of judgment is going to come down on the West, and God's instrument will be these countries of Russia, China, Iran, possibly Turkey. It's going to talk about in the article how Russia and Turkey are talking about Syria because they both take separate sides in that issue, with Turkey, you know, supporting those that would overthrow Assad. And they're sort of coming to the table on this. So this is very, very interesting development here. And a member of NATO is meeting with Putin. So anyway, Turkey's Erdogan met with Putin to discuss a deal that would resume Ukraine's Black Sea grain exports, as well as the conflict in northern Syria. Putin's trip coming just days after U.S. President Joe Biden, read that, resident Brandon, visited Israel and Saudi Arabia. This sends a strong message to the West about Moscow's plans to forge closer strategic ties with Iran, China, and India in the face of Western sanctions. Well, hello, Eurasia, right? So the Khamenei, I think that's the guy from Iran. Yeah, that's the guy from Iran. The Iranian dude called for long-term cooperation between Iran and Russia, telling Putin that the two countries needed to stay vigilant against Western deception, quote-unquote, according to Iran's state TV. He, the Iranian leader, said that Putin had ensured Russia maintained its independence from the United States and that countries should start using their own national currencies when trading goods. Quoting the Iranian leader, he said, "The U.S. dollar should be gradually taken off the global trade, and this can be done gradually." This, he said, in a meeting in a Spartan white room with an Iranian flag and a portrait of the revolutionary leader Ayatollah Khamenei. So, yeah, this is happening. This is going down. Countries are getting together. They're not fearing the West and the U.S. anymore. And they're plotting, I mean, just basically using their own currencies. That's going to be the demise of the dollar. And they do say do it gradually. I think they understand the symbiotic nature that we're in now, you know, in this global nonsense where things that one or more countries do affect everything around the globe. But they seem to be planning this out, and they seem to be coming out on top because Russia's still able to trade with the East, and the sanctions are not even affecting them at all, hardly. It's just pretty much just crippling the West. So anyway, this is the end of the show. Appreciate you listening. We'll be back tomorrow night with William Repellum. William, as I announced earlier today on Patrick's show, William had interviewed Dave Gahari and Dennis Wise on the National Intel. So catch those archives if you didn't hear it live. Anyway, y'all stay classy, and we'll see you tomorrow night.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.